What's up? It's the Sci-Fi Podcast, episode 7, and I have my first guest on the show, my good friend, roommate, Josh Barnes. What's up, man?
What's up, bro? How's it going?
Doing good. Let's see. So this is the first time I'm using Zoom for the YouTube people. This is the first time where I've actually found a application where I could have my like a webcam and have other people, preferably like in the future I'm gonna have like other people, like the Skype. But with Skype you would have to have a third party to record, but with Zoom I can record and do everything in a matter of, it's so easy to upload on YouTube. So this is what's gonna happen now. So again, everything's on Spotify and Apple, so if you don't want to have this on YouTube, if you don't want to watch this on YouTube, then go ahead and go over there. But shout out to everybody. Let's see. So today is, what's today?
17th.
It's April 17th. So how have you been lately?
I've been good, man. Just celebrated my 22nd birthday.
22nd birthday.
I had a good weekend.
Yes.
I got to hang out with some friends. I got my birthday wish. I want a tiger to win the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Won right on your birthday. Yeah. That's crazy. I was going to say, how does it feel different turning 22?
Honestly, like, since I turned 21 last year, I was like, hey, it's lit. Like, I'm legal, whatnot. I can get in, like, a whole bunch of places that I couldn't in before. But, like, now that I'm 22, I'm just like, it's just, like, going down here from here. I'm like, it's just another age. Like, it's nothing, like, super special.
Yeah. When you turn 21, I feel like 21 is, like, the last –
prime age is like the last age where
you're like age where like parents care, or like, you know, or family, or like friends
reach out to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
like when you're 19, you're almost 21. You're 20, you're almost 21.
Yeah, I definitely got like at least like 100 like happy birthdays when I turned 21.
Yeah.
Like when I turned 22, it was like maybe like 20. which is fine. Like I'm really like, I don't care, but I can definitely see like the drastic like difference between 21 and 22 already.
Yeah. But like after 22, it's like the next thing is like 30s and 40, or like 25, 30, 35, 40, like the next.
It's like increments now.
Yeah. So. So with Tiger Woods winning on your birthday, what do you think about Tiger Woods winning?
Dude,
for the first time since 08.
Honestly, like I was just happy like he was like relevant and in contention going into Sunday, and he was like in the final pairing with Molinari and Tony, and then the front nine, Francisco Molinari, was just like, just kept saving par. He was doing everything. He was holding Tiger at bay. On the back nine, Tiger was still two back. And I was like, I mean, it's just going to be another one of those, like, runner-up finishes for Tiger. He still just can't get over the hump. And then, like, and my mood changed at 12 when I saw Molinari hit the ball in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Double bogeyed. Tiger birdied. And next thing you know, they're tied. And then Tiger takes the lead. And Molinari double bogeys again. And the only person he has to, like, fight off now is, like, Koepka and Dustin Johnson. And then he hit a beautiful shot at 16.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, at that moment, I was like, he could actually like win number 15. Like we've been waiting mm-hmm. over a decade for this. And then he parred 17, and all he needed to do was bogey 18, and the title was his. And he bogeyed and won the title. And I was like, man, like, honestly, I have no recollection of like Tiger winning in 08, his last major win. So I was like, this is crazy. Like it's one of the greatest comeback stories.
But you don't have recollection of that?
Like, I mean, I remember, but it just feels so long ago, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember he won it basically on one leg.
Yeah, and that's what I remember.
He won on one leg. And, like, the crazy thing about, like, that U.S. Open course is, like, you know, usually, like, if you tie somebody, you have to go into, like, a one hole playoff and, like, sudden death. Like, nah, he had to come back the next day and
yeah.
Play a whole 18 holes on one leg, and he still beat Rocco Mediate.
Jeez.
But, like, it just felt like so long ago. Like, it was cool, like, to see him, like, him hugging his son, like,
it was yeah, that was the big thing.
It was a breathtaking moment because, like, you know, like his dad passed away, and like mm-hmm. his dad hugged him after he won the Masters. Like his son coming up, like holding, like it'd be something I'll never forget. I'll tell my kids for sure.
Yeah, they're when they show like the kids embrace and they're like making a big deal about it. I didn't like know about it. I didn't know it was a big deal, but then I was thinking, I was like, wait, these kids were born like. I don't even know, like, in, after 08? No, or maybe, like, during 06?
I don't think they've ever seen their dad win.
Yeah, so, like, that was like, oh, wow, like, your dad is the greatest one, like, greatest golfer of all time. I mean, Jack Nicklaus too, but like growing up, but like first time ever seeing your dad actually live up to that is like, it's got to be pretty cool. Yeah.
And it's like, it's the Masters, which makes it like even more complex. Yeah. Like,
and then, I remember 08 when he won, because that was like Father's Day weekend, and I was like in Houston with my family actually. And yeah, like the whole thing was like, he was on one leg the whole game. And I was like,
He would literally hit the ball and he'd like drop to one knee.
Because I remember he like was out for the rest. I think he like was out for a little bit after that. And I was like, geez, he's going to shatter Jack Nicklaus. And then with all the stuff happening the next year, I was like, dang, you go from like, I would say like the 08, that open was like a top three major for him, like accomplishment.
Golf moment,
So I was just like going from that and then to like just the horrible, horrible stuff he went through. It's like, and then do you see that video of he was like looking at all the analysts?
Yeah,
talking bad about him.
I actually saw that today on like Facebook.
That was really funny.
Of course, Brady Dunn like shared it because he's like a huge like Tiger fan. But it was like Stephen A was on there. It was like, he's won.
Yeah, he'll never win. Stephen A, Shannon Sharp.
There was some random people on that video.
Yeah, and then like Colin.
Jemele Hill was on that video.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
it's weird. Oh yeah, Jemele. Yeah, that's right. But you were asking earlier, is he going to break Jack Nicklaus's record, and will he win again this year?
Yeah.
And you said yes to both of them.
I did. I feel like I have very like logical reasons why. I'll start first with like the major this year. I think he'll win another major this year. I don't know which one it is, but the PGA is a tour. A PGA championship is he won at that course before. Mm-hmm. So I think like maybe his momentum will carry into that. Or if he doesn't win the PGA, I would feel like he'll win at the U.S. Open, because except Pebble Beach and Tiger shattered the record at Pebble Beach. And granted, it was in 2000, but he won by 18 strokes.
Yeah,
It wasn't even close. So.
Wait, what year was that?
2000.
2000.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because he was like, how old? Early 20s?
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel like when a 21-year-old is just killing everybody? Yes.
Like, it wasn't even close. It was like, after like the first or second day, he was at like minus 15. And like the second person, the second was like minus 2, minus 3. Like, it was never close.
Yeah, that's.
I think his odds now, like, I just think like the icebreaker barrier, like I was talking about to you earlier, is like he just had to get over the hump, like just to get to 15. And I feel like now he'll have more success in majors because he's like, he's over that psychological barrier. He's like, I can finally win again. Like, I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
Just persevere. But like, it's different than like any other sports. Like basketball, you're playing. Every year you only get one opportunity to win a championship per year. Like, they get 4 opportunities each year. So like, you mean to tell me if he plays like another 10 years, he can't win 4 or 5 of those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And golf has no like retirement age. Like, Tom Watson's out there like 62, 63 years old,
still, yeah,
like, competing for Masters. So like, it's I call it a sport. I think it's more of a strategic and like mental sport. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot of athleticism as like basketball or football does, but like,
yeah,
it's definitely like hard on the body. I mean, like, look at Tiger. Tiger took Tiger forever to get back from back knee and all these injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, because like, you put so much torque on your body.
Isn't the Masters the one where you can play, if you win, you can play for the rest of your life, like you don't have to qualify or anything?
Yeah, it's like
that's pretty cool.
I think it's still like that, but I've also heard like they changed it, like it was like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
10 straight years.
I always remember Angel Cabrera. Remember that?
Yeah.
He's won twice. And I think that's it. Of like all the other. And like, I always remember him, like, he would smoke, I think, on the course.
A cigar.
And like throw it sometimes on the grass. I don't know.
He's kind of nasty looking.
But I remember like all the Masters, like elite, were like hating on him and stuff. But yeah. I mean, I said no to like both the Jack Nicklaus record and rest of this year. Because I feel like he could be one of these flukes that always wins. You know, like, a lot of these.
So, are you trying to?
If he wins again, though, like, a second time this year, he's definitely going to break the record. Like,
do you think, like, the Masters was a fluke for Tiger?
Is
that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Because, like, ever since Tiger got out, what was it? Besides the crazy Jordan Spieth year where he won, like, 3 of 4, there hasn't been many, like, people that have won twice or 3 times. Well, and so it seems like every major it's, like, first-time champion.
That was the wave of the Masters before Tiger won this year, because I think, like, the past 4 years before this year, like, it was a first-time winner.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, I see, like, both sides, but...
I also just think, like, if you, like, look at it, like, the last 3 majors, like, Tiger's had the best round of pars out of any of the golfers. I mean, he had a lead on the back nine last year at the British Open. He choked that one. Mm-hmm. He finished second at the PGA last year behind Brooks Koepka, who was just hot. Like, you know, like, it's not like he's just, like, getting lucky by these guys making bad shots. Like, he's actually, like, playing well and contending and putting himself in a position on Sunday to win.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely – I hope he wins. I hope he, like, shatters Jack Nicklaus' record. So
– Would you agree with the statement that there's been – there's no other athlete more valuable to their sport than Tiger is to golf?
Yeah, I mean, I can – yeah, I'd say that because, I mean, trying to think of any, like, weird sports, not, like, the mainstream. Because people are going to watch the mainstream sports anyway.
I mean, like, I can understand people saying, like, Serena to women's tennis.
No, because with tennis, you have, like, Nadal, Federer, Serena, Maria Sharapova even. Like, even – I know she's bad, but, like, people still, like
but I'm
watch
thinking,
her.
Like, but think about, like – when I say, like, Serena and women's tennis, like, think about, number one, the amount of people that had interest of African-Americans that had interest in tennis because Serena started playing. Like, it's a predominantly white sport. Nobody cared about tennis from an African-American standpoint. Just, like,
but I think that's even more in golf. Golf was
it's a pure white
man
sport. So, like, when Tiger, like, he's, like, half Filipino, half black.
Yeah. They're
like, who's this dude trying to play golf?
I mean, I don't think I've watched golf.
I
don't even remember the last time I watched.
I literally only care about golf, and I can honestly say this because, like, when Tiger plays, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and, like, entering the final round Sunday, I was like, Tiger's down 2 strokes. We'll see. And then I saw on the 16th, all the drama. I was like, whoa. Like, I actually turned on my TV. Like,
to watch.
Having an under 25 year olds, like, turn on their TV
to watch golf
is, like, unheard of. And so, yeah.
It's also, like, kind of funny because, like, you know, like, we're both, like, our favorite sports are, like, the NBA basketball.
Yeah.
And, like, we, like, stopped watching the NBA playoffs for, like,
Tiger
in the Masters.
Yeah, that is true. But, yeah. But speaking of basketball, is that all the golf analysis you got?
I said myself about Tiger, so I'm good.
So what's your NBA playoff thoughts so far?
I love Pat Bev, always have.
Oh.
I'm from Houston. I was kind of sad that they let him go, but I understand.
Yeah.
They're the best of the franchise. I'm not going to sit here and say the Warriors are in, like, panic mode, but I would be concerned because their defense is worse than last year's. And they're in a whole lot of close games that they aren't finishing yet. I still do think they're the favorites and they're going to pull it together. But without Boogie, I'm like, man, like, y'all are beatable. Y'all are a beatable team.
I hate to say that because they have four all-stars.
Yeah, I know. I hate to say that too. But, like, honestly.
That's,
like,
just so sad.
But, like, my thing is, like, all right, if the Rockets keep winning and the Warriors keep winning, they meet in the second round first. Semifinals matchup, which I'm kind of sad about. I want to see a repeat of the conference final. But I'm like, Houston's beat them all 4 times this year with Boogie and without Boogie. And I'm like, it's hard for me to, like, see Golden State getting past them since they haven't beat them in the regular season. I get it's a different animal in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you got to beat the Golden State Warriors 4 times in the postseason. I do feel like the Rockets are more hungry because they're literally a quarter away from the NBA finals. They just would have made some threes, like, 0-27.
Yeah.
And I can't stand the James Harden hate.
Yeah.
I've learned to like James Harden. And I just think people hate his style of play. And they don't understand his style of play. So they just choose to hate on him. And I'm like, all right, if you want him to start going to the free throw line, stop fouling him. I'm more intrigued, honestly, in the East.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who comes out the East. Like, I hope the top 4 teams win. Because that second round is going to be nice between possible Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers in Toronto. That could be nice.
Because it'll answer my, like, Embiid, Giannis, or, like, yeah, Embiid, Giannis, Kawhi, like, questions. Like, who's the best out of them? So,
but the teams I'm most surprised by, like after this first weekend, the first two games, is Brooklyn and the Clippers. Because like if you take both of their markets, they're supposed to be the JV team in their respective markets to the Knicks and to the Lakers, and they haven't really like gone out and like traded for anybody or like picked up a big time like you know all star caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
But here they are like sneaking into the playoffs, winning a game, making some noise. A little bit, like, it's good. Like, D'Angelo Russell, he's gaining my respect.
Mm-hmm.
I used to not, like, stand the guy. I used to think he was, like, a tool. Wasn't, like, a team player. But, like, he's become, like, a leader. And he's super young. Like,
yeah, he's quietly, like, leading his team now.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember last year, like, he had a good ending. Because he got traded 2 years ago.
Yes.
From the Lakers to the Nets. And, yeah, like, he's growing up. Like, he's, yeah, again, he's young. And, like,
yeah.
Like this, that Lakers squad a couple years ago, that like Randall, Russell, all those guys, yeah.
Honestly, like if I'm a free agent though, and I don't know how much cap space Brooklyn has, but I'm assuming they have enough to sign a free agent.
Yeah,
but
I bet.
Like say for instance, like the whole like KD speculation, like
yeah,
they have pieces like where I would be like intrigued as like a free agent. They have, you know, Spencer, he's a good player. They have Harris, Russell, Allen, who blocks everybody's shot.
Allen, who?
Allen isn't. Jared Allen.
Like oh, Jared Allen, yeah.
The guy from UT.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'd be intrigued. But honestly, if I were KD and it was, like, between the Knicks and I had to choose between the Knicks or the Nets, I would definitely go to Brooklyn before I go to the dumpster fire organization of the Knicks. I get it's, like, the mecca of basketball, but, like, what's so intriguing about the Knicks besides, like, playing in Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I mean, the polarizing aspect of it. The Nets... We'll see. I mean, I don't think, like, KD's going to go to both of them or either of them.
Yeah.
Remember,
like, there's that speculation, like, last summer, it was, like, possibly Kyrie and Jimmy Butler could link up in Brooklyn.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Where do you think Kyrie's going to go?
Kyrie?
Yeah. Do you think he stays or do you think he leaves?
He's definitely leaving.
Or do you think that this playoffs depends on it?
It's
like hypothetical, like. What if Boston makes the finals?
That is interesting.
And loses to the Warriors or the Rockets.
That is definitely interesting.
So
I didn't think of that, but I don't think they're not getting past the Bucks. I don't think they're getting past the Bucks. But if they don't, I mean, I really think he's going to go to LA because LeBron's not going to have any like other big free agents that's going to just come out of nowhere.
You know, there's like speculation like Kemba Walker. There.
Yeah, so he's not going to get, like, the superstar, like the Kawhis or the KDs. Because, like, I know, like, all those reports, like, they don't want to be in LeBron's shadow and stuff. And so, I mean, I see Kemba. I mean, I see, like, the stars that haven't had the success they wanted. So, like, Kyrie.
Would you say Kyrie hasn't had the success he wanted, even though he hit probably the most infamous
basketball? He's not. No, he doesn't have the success he wanted in Boston.
Boston, yeah.
And especially with those comments to LeBron and stuff, like, and he hasn't signed that extension.
Yeah.
Like, and his team, he keeps saying he's going to stay in Boston, but he hasn't proved it. Like, he hasn't talked to
him. His teammates also throwing kind of like, you know, like little shade comments at him. So I'm like, I feel like Kyrie doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Last year was just a weird year for Boston, and it might have turned out.
The rookies really felt themselves.
Yeah.
They really felt
for real. Like, even like Terry Rozier, like, I feel like he feels a way about wanting to start more or like play more.
Yeah.
Because, like, with their backcourt gone, like Kyrie and Gordon, I mean, it was, like, Terry, Jason, Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And so, yeah, I think Kyrie's gone. So
who do you have as your MVP this season?
Definitely James Harden.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody – it's so weirdly split. Like, I, like, talked with people, and they're, like, saying Giannis, and they're saying – they're making a case for him as Defensive Player of the Year, too, which is weird.
Has there ever been a player to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, it was Shaq and
– Was it Michael?
I think it might have been. But there's, like, two other people that have. But,
yeah.
I mean, Giannis, I don't know. Just not yet. He hasn't had – yeah, I don't know.
I honestly have a problem with the committee who votes for MVP.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't want to hate on Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's a top 10 player, but I think he's top 15.
Yeah.
But the criteria changes each year. MVP, and I get, like, his new season, like, obviously stuff's going to change. But, like, when Russ won, it's because he had this historic triple-double MVP season. When he's had two more of those, should he still get the MVP?
Yeah. What's funny is, like, he's in the same position he was a couple years ago. The sixth seed. And triple double.
And they're going to get bounced the first round.
Yeah.
So it's nothing special.
It's just straight up about the narrative.
Yes.
It's seriously about the narrative.
Or, like, whenever – I feel like James Harden got snubbed of one of Curry's two MVPs. Because I was like, oh, well, Curry won more games than you. But it's like, well, James Harden put up more numbers and he has less help than Curry. Mm-hmm. But you're going to give it to him. And, like, I'm just like, all right, so what's the criteria then? Like, what is the MVP in basketball? Because, yes, Giannis and them, they won, like, 63 games. In a weaker conference where they don't have, I mean, the West is it's a boxing fight every single night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the East it's still like a dog fight, but it's nothing compared to the West.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, all right, let's flip scenarios. If you put James Harden in Milwaukee and Giannis in Houston, does Giannis get the Rockets from a 14 seed all the way up to 4 seed?
I have a friend that brought up like anti Harden saying, was it he? Since he struggled so bad that first month, he shouldn't get the MVP. You know, like he was so bad, like they were that 14th in the conference, and so I think they went from 14th. I think they were like there mid-December probably, and so he was making that case.
But you also have to count during that stretch, like Capella went down. CP3 went down.
Were they down?
I mean, they weren't healthy, but especially during the stretch where James Harden brought them back, all three of those guys were in line.
Yeah. Like, I think that from 14 to 4 or whatever it was, he didn't have CP3 or Capella. Yeah. And so,
people just really hate on him because he's an ISO basketball
player. Yeah. And, I mean, I think Giannis will win next year because with him, I mean, he's probably going to go to the East Finals. He should. He needs to go to the East Finals at least.
That's also why I want to pump the brakes on MVP talk. So I'm like, Giannis hasn't even made it past the first round. I really wish playoffs counted for MVP. Because like, I'm like, if you're the most valuable player, you do it in crunch time.
Or like, past playoff experience. Yeah, I mean, Harden has had pretty good playoff experience.
Because like when LeBron was winning with like Cleveland his first time around, they gave it in like the first game of the second round.
They
gave the MVP the first game of the second round.
Oh,
because remember that?
No, they do the voting. I thought they do the voting at the end of the regular season.
Now, but I'm talking about like back then when LeBron first won with Cleveland. Remember they would like have the whole like ceremony before game one, like the second round, like LeBron would come on and put up his trophy and all that stuff. Like, I hate waiting until the end of the season. I'm like,
oh, that part, not the voting. Okay, the war show. Yeah, I hate the war show so much. But I like loved that like crowd thing. The most embarrassing one was when Dirk won in 07. No. Yeah, 2007, and he would lose in the first round, and he couldn't even do that. That was so – and then had the press conference after they lost. That was so sad. But, yeah, I always remember that.
But, like, as a Mavs fan, you said you would have rather won in 06 than 11.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, because, like, that was the first time, and Dirk was called being soft all the time, and then – and as a LeBron fan too, of course.
I just have a hard time like dealing with y'all Maverick fans. Y'all kind of delusional.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It's kind of annoying.
When you go on the run that we went on in 2011.
It's not even that. Like,
I
appreciate the fact that like the Mavericks had the greatest probably playoff run I've ever seen.
Yeah.
However, in regards to 06, I get so tired of hearing like, you know.
Oh,
the refs.
Tim Donahue,
Because, like, I go back and I watch those games, and I'm like, all right. I mean, yeah, sure. You can – every sporting event is going to have skeptical calls.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I go back and watch these games, I'm like, all right, well, Dirk missed a free throw in one of these games to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Terry missed a free throw. He missed a jump shot to win. I mean, you guys choked a 15-point lead in game three with 5 minutes to go. This is the equivalent of, like, what the Heat did in game two of 2011. Like, if game two goes 2-0, the Mavericks don't have a chance in that series. Like, it's just certain instances where I'm like, all right, the Mavericks didn't execute. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. The refs all the time. Well, like, especially game three. We had a 13-point lead. With 5 minutes left to go?
Yeah.
They took a 3-0 lead.
Yes.
With the refs and bad calls, I would never blame a whole series on a ref. Like,
yeah, because I'm like, all right. Explain,
maybe a game every now and then.
Explain the first two games.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, I know with the Virginia run and the March Madness, like, oh, the refs made bad calls at the end. But, like, it happens. We're humans. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't like the whole, like, basketball god theories, but, like, Virginia.
You'll like it, but it happened. Yeah,
Virginia definitely had a lot of – I mean, three straight games, you come off the hook, Purdue, Auburn, and then Texas Tech. Like, I'll give them credit. Like, they executed down the stretch, and they did what they have to do to survive. But, like, there's definitely some higher power on them, for sure. Especially because I was like – I didn't like them being a one seed because I was like, you guys lost a 16 seed the year before. But, like, I can't really say anything about the Nucks, the national champions.
That Auburn game was like, honestly, their whole run was crazy, but like the Auburn game was so just wild because like, what was it? They were down 5 points basically in 6 seconds.
Kyle guy goes off.
And Kyle basically said he can say he scored 6 points in 7 seconds, with that crazy three. And then
I give him foul. I give him the most props because like, honestly, like, I don't know, like three free throws.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can make three.
Were they down two?
Yeah. Down two. So he made all three and gave him a 1-point lead. I don't know if I can make that.
Yeah, that's – Carson Wentz had that opportunity too, right?
Carson Edwards, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I said Carson Wentz. Yeah. Carson Edwards. But he was only down
– He was down – They were down by two. And they two. Him, he only made two of the three.
That's right, yeah.
And they went overtime and he won. But, like, I just couldn't believe, like – because, you know, I went to high school with Carson. I was like – Wow, they're really going to, like, punch the tickets to the Final Four. And then Diakite.
They were up.
They were up by two.
Dang, that's crazy.
So, here's my, like, my that's problem. So... My whole problem with that game was they fouled Ryan Klein.
Yeah.
Ryan Klein, all he had to do was make one more free throw, put the game up four, and the game's pretty much over with unless he fouled on the three-pointer. He misses it. They come down. They're playing good defense for like 10, 15 seconds, and then the coach tells them to foul with like 5 seconds. Yeah. He fouls Ty Jerome. Jerome makes the first one. Their whole problem the whole game was rebounding. And what happens? He misses the second one on purpose, and Diakite tips into the backcourt, and Kike Clark goes and gets it, and then he throws a little prayer to Diakite. Diakite's a little jump shot to send the game to overtime. I was like, all right, momentum's gone. You guys are going to lose. There's no hope.
Yeah. I loved his hair. His hair color.
His blonde hair.
His blonde hair with, like, the Virginia orange and, like, he has his, what is it? He has, like, no, like, sleeve. Like, he looks like a basic, just basketball player.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, he did all that was, that was decent.
So my question is, NBA-wise, who do you have in the finals?
In the finals? I always say the Sixers. Sixers and Warriors. I go with my, like, 8-man rotation philosophy where, like, rosters get shorter in the playoffs and Philly has one of the best starting five in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so with that and the – I know the Bucks have depth and everything.
Yeah. You still trust them?
Not yet. And the Sixers, I mean, I don't trust them really either. So but it's just, like, a really – it's not a question that's going to be answered. And so – If I was going to bet, I would bet on the Sixers.
Like a week before the playoffs started, I would have put Toronto coming out the East, but I can't trust Kyle.
Yeah,
I can't trust Kyle.
Don't get me started on Kyle.
So they make him get paid $31 million to drop a goose egg in the playoffs. In the first round.
He's a 5-time All Star. That's crazy. He could. They were talking about this. I was with some people last night, and they were saying Kyle Lowry might be the worst consistent all-star ever. I was like, that's an interesting category. And so I don't know. Because you know you always have those random all-stars like for 1 or 2 years. But I don't know.
Like Kyle Korver made all-star.
Yeah.
that whole Atlanta Hawks squad made the all-star except for one.
That was so stupid. Everybody was so hyped up on the 2015 Hawks.
Jeff Teague was an all-star. Millsap, Horford, and Corver. That's right.
I was going to compare them to, like, the – if the Nuggets lost last night to the Spurs, I was going to be like, they're kind of like the 2015 Hawks all over again. Where
at least the Hawks team made the conference final.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. If the Nuggets – if they lose to the Spurs – well, winning last night was huge, but, like, if they were going to go down 0-2 back to San Antonio – like, that series was going to be over. But that game last night might have saved their season.
Yeah.
But if the Nuggets got swept by the Spurs, that would have been like, Jokic, nah. No top five or top 10 player for you or something.
I know you're not the biggest KD fan. Can you elaborate on that? What makes you not like KD?
I mean, just the basic reason he was one quarter away from going to the finals. I mean, and he's better when he's the man. Like, he's on Steph Curry's team, basically. Yeah. The Warriors don't care about KD, like the Warrior fan base.
Yeah.
Like, they would be
completely fine if he left.
They would want Steph Curry rather than KD. And so, yeah, KD is a sensitive. He got more sensitive when he left OKC.
Of course.
But, I mean, it's a topic for a whole other day. But. But we're at the end, and so doing little segments. I got two little segments to end these podcasts, kind of brand new ideas. One is a song that's been kind of like that you streamed way too much this past week, and then like something non-musical that has made you happy or like has meant a lot to you. So I'll go first. So song-wise, I'll say – so Brockhampton's main dude, Kevin Abstract, he's coming out with his whole little album rollout, and it's kind of unique. I kind of like it. He's coming out with three EPs of like three to four tracks each,
yeah.
Like for the next, I think, because he released that EP last Friday, and I think he's going to release one this Friday, and then next Friday, and then like that's. And then one more for the album complete. So there's one song called Georgia, which is just like a beautiful, just like sun driving, like sunroof, like wait, taking down your sunroof, is that the thing on the car?
You talking about like when there's a convertible?
Like what the thing in my car where I can like.
Oh, you talking about just like whenever you just like.
whatever it's called, but like driving with that, and then like. Totally there's a Ray Charles song, right? It's like I Got Georgia on My Mind. Yeah. And so he kind of samples that a little bit, and so that's just so beautiful, and it's just like really nice.
Sunroof.
And so yeah, that's been amazing, so go check it out. Kevin Abstract. How about you?
Let's see, what have I been listening to? There's been this one song I gotta give Kirsten credit for. It she like played it one time in my car when I saw her in Burleson. It was called like Do You Even Miss Me at All by Yanni and Kyle, and like it just like it's very like
catchy. I've heard of that. Yeah, duo.
Yeah, it's very
like, I always think of Giannis because yeah. It's spelled the same way.
Yeah, but
Yanni and Kyle.
Yeah, Yanni and Kyle, and like it's just like very catchy. It's like Do You Even Miss Me at All, like Do You Even Like Care About Me, like just like reflection. That's just like something that's just been like sticking with me lately. I don't really like know why.
I feel that. Let's see. So for I don't know what to call this next segment, like non-music thing that you like. Okay, so I sleep with a blindfold, right? And so I got a new one, and so like my old one was very just like let me show the YouTube. Wait, this isn't it. I don't even know what my other one is, but. Like, my other one was just super stretched out, and just it would always come off whenever I would wake up. But, like, my new one is just – it'll just stick on your head forever. Like, it'll just –
it doesn't fall off?
It doesn't fall off. It might, like, go up a little bit or something.
Did your other one fall off? Did your other one fall off?
Yeah, it would, like – because it was super loose, and it would, like, go down to my neck or, like, get off. And so – sleeping with a blindfold is super underrated. People need to start doing that.
I agree with you. It's probably like safer for your eyes, like because like the sun coming in the morning. But I just cannot sleep with a blindfold. I can't just like sit there throughout the night and just have this blindfold on, knowing there's something that could be going on throughout the house.
You just gotta see that. You gotta relax.
I don't be relaxed like that.
You don't be relaxed when you sleep.
I be prepared at all times.
You gotta be prepared when you sleep.
If somebody coming through, I don't need to rip off that blindfold. Like I don't want that.
And it's also like a mental thing too for me, because like
it gets you to show
it. Yeah, it's like, oh, even if I open my eyes, it'll be dark. So it's like, it removes that temptation of me just like looking up for like no reason real quick and then going back to sleep. So, but it's really dangerous though when I want to only get like 7 hours of sleep, because when I put on blindfold, I will easily sleep 8 hours. Nothing's gonna disturb me. So when I need to get up like really quick, I won't sleep with a blindfold. So, but yeah, that's all I got. How about you?
Something non-musical.
Non-musical, that, or something new that you like, a restaurant or a...
No, my thing, like, lately, like, I just started, like, in January, but, like, I'm just, like, falling in love with this. Like, I was going to take basketball for, like, a Kinesis credit, and I was just, and it got closed, and I was like, I guess I'll just take tennis. And I was like, I didn't care for it at all. Like, I went in there kind of with,
like... Yeah, on that tennis wave.
Yeah, I kind of went in there with, like, a bad attitude, and I was like, this is stupid. Like, why, what am I doing taking a tennis class for? It's like really fun, and like I really like enjoy it. Like, it's good exercise. Like, I like to run. I can do cardio and stuff like that. And like, I'm always gassed when I come back from tennis. Always gassed. I'd be out of breath. Like, it's just like, I think everybody should like just try it one time.
Tennis.
It's just a very underrated sport, and it's harder than what people think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I actually played one time with you.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. That was my first time actually playing real tennis.
No table tennis. It's just real tennis.
It's just a lot of movement.
You have to be active, like moving back and forth, like anticipation.
Right, the tennis courts are straight up like a basketball court. In a way.
So, I can see why you make that analogy.
I would say, okay, if I'm on the baseline, you're probably at the opponent's free throw line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty, and you have a lot of ground to cover. And that's
the balls hit hard. Like, you just, like, it's a lot of it's a lot of like anticipation, because like I have to anticipate where you're gonna hit the ball, and I don't have time to think.
And then like, yeah, hitting it back. Oh, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah.
But
and like these dudes run, like if you watch like just a simple like tennis match, like playing tennis, I gain more respect for the professionals, because I'm like, I'm tired after playing one set with you, and they're playing like, the men are playing 3 out of 5, and they're playing for 6 to 8 hours sometimes, and the women are playing for
6 to 8 hours.
6 to 8.
Oh.
Because, like, if, like, a set goes 5 sets, like,
yeah,
6 to 8 hours of tennis.
Jeez.
Yeah. In one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm done after 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, like, it's my new hobby, my new, like, thing. Like, I've been running as much because I play a whole lot of tennis. And, like, I get 3 miles out of that.
Do you have an Apple Watch when you play?
Yeah. I always wear it, so I track how much
I play. What's, like, your normal track?
It keeps, like, my history.
Like, that's fires, not that. I mean, I'd say like 1.5 miles. Like, I don't know, 1 mile. But I mean, I want to know what you do in your class. But let's see.
Tuesday, since I had class yesterday, and I played a little bit extra. Well, long. I did six miles.
Jeez.
6.2.
Golly, that's crazy. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this podcast episode. Thank y'all for watching or listening to the YouTube people, Spotify, Apple. It's available everywhere. So this was episode 7. So is that it? That's it? That's all you got right now?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, stay tuned next week. I'm trying to do more consistent. This is the first time I've ever recorded a back-to-back weekly episode. So. That's pretty cool. So I'm going to try to do that more. And so, yeah, stay tuned next week and have a great rest of the week. Bye.